guys, welcome to another episode of Burnout Brighter. This is episode 158, and as usual, we're here to bring you some news and some exciting new guests. I am here with my amazing co-host, Lou.
What's going on, everybody? Good to see you. Glad to be here.
Always happy to see Lou. And we have a very special guest, the developer of Lunar Lux. If you haven't heard of that game, what are you doing? Where have you been? Go to Steam, go check it out. They also have a Kickstarter, and we're going to be talking about that. But first, Nobob, thank you for coming on to our show. We really, really appreciate you being here, taking some time out of your busy schedule, because I know that the game is still in development. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I'm super grateful, and it's great to be able to have a platform to talk about the game, because I'm in love with this game. And this is literally my dream project. And, you know, just to, once you get me started, I can't stop. So be prepared for that, because I'm just going to keep going and going
that's
and going.
Perfect.
Oh, that's okay.
And yeah.
That's perfect, because this show is all about you today. So please feel free to tell us everything you want about Lunar Lux. We want to hear all about it. Yep. But before I start, we're going to like just break it in real easy. And I'm going to start with Lou. Lou, what have you been up to? It's been a minute since we talked.
Yeah, it has. It's been a bit of a whirlwind week. I was best man at a wedding over the weekend.
Nice.
So a lot of preparation and stuff to do and whatnot. And now that it's over, it's a little bit of a relief as well, you know, because it's like this big event is now behind me and we're moving into a different time of year. So it's nice, but it was a pretty busy week for sure. And then work on top of that, balancing all that. Yeah. So I haven't had a lot of time to be doing the things that I love to be doing. Of course, I've still been watching Dragon Ball Z when possible. I'm almost done. Almost done watching it with my girlfriend, Julia. Still playing Hearthstone, of course. And then today, for the first time in many months, probably 4 months, I logged on to WoW Classic. Yeah, to get prepared for the new expansion, which launches in 6 days. So looking forward to that. And that's really about it for me. I'm just looking for some stuff, looking forward to some stuff that's on the horizon in terms of PC gaming. That's about it. But let's throw it back to you, Destiny. What's going on?
Thank you. I binged Bee and Puppy Cat. I don't know if you guys know what Bee and Puppy Cat is, but they finally released it. Frederator Studios released it a long time ago on YouTube when they were doing like the Bravest Warriors. I was super into animation. I still am. And I actually pitched to Frederator Studios twice while I was in South Korea to like do my own animated series. Well, they finally finished it. It's on Netflix. So if you guys want to check out like a weird, quirky cartoon, Bee and Puppy Cat, absolutely love it. Super, super excited because the voice actor, Steve, I hope I get this right because I know people are going to come for me if I get his name wrong, but I want to say it's Steve Bloom. He does the voice for Spike in Cowboy Bebop, which I absolutely love. And he does a voice on the episode. And as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh my God, that's Spike. But anyways, Finished watching that and, checked out Lunar Lux. Because I hadn't had a chance to play it yet. Checked it out. Oh my God. So many nostalgia strings on my heart were pulled. Like, I remember playing Mega Man with my little brother. But this is even better because it's a female protagonist. And we'll get into that. But, like, I forever wanted to play, like, a cool female character in a game when I was little. And they just didn't make them, you know? So I'm super excited for all the girls out there who love playing like side scrolling, shoot 'em up platform type games. Like Lunar Lux is going to be your key. Like, oh, I'm so excited for it to come out. And the art is beautiful. Okay. Anyways, we're supposed to be talking about what I've been up to, and I'm sorry, I totally went off on a rail talking about Lunar Lux, and I'll leave that to Nobob because he's the expert on it. But, I also played a game called, Wildermyth. It's either Wildermyth or Wildermyth, which is really, really fun. The narrative design in it is incredible. It's so funny. I didn't expect it. And they already have mods for the game, so that's really cool where you can go in and like create your own characters. And I always love a game that lets me put myself in the game, because there's just not enough like females and like people of color in games, I feel. Even though we've started to kind of pull away from just having like the male white protagonist, and we were starting to actually like be more diverse in games, which is really, really good. I'm really happy to be a part of that and to be at a time where I can play those games. What else did I do? Oh, I played, which is, to me, it's a knockoff of Overcooked, but it's called Played Up. I don't know if you guys have heard of it.
I haven't.
It's a lot of fun. It gets really, really hard. I've been playing with a couple of friends, and the most brutal thing is when you like mess up and you have like customers waiting. So that means game over and you have to start all over again. Like that is the worst part, but everything else is really fun. It's a great game to play with like other people, because like, even if you mess up, it's fine. Like you're all like in it together. It's a really good teamwork kind of game. So I've been playing that. You guys should check it out. Evidently it's like trending. Like, I guess like, Yogscast.
Yeah.
They, Tom from that played it, and a couple of other people have played it that I've seen, and they've done incredibly well. I don't know how they got as far as they did, but whatever. I'm still learning. I'm a terrible waitress. I'm an okay cook, and I am an amazing dishwasher in the game. So that is that is where I'm at right now with Played Up. But enough about me. Hey, Novab, what have you been up to? I know you've been working really hard on Lunar Nux, but anything fun you've been doing?
So I was actually excited to share that I've been watching Cyberpunk Edgerunners. Have you guys heard of that anime?
It
just came out very recently by Studio Trigger. And honestly, they're my favorite animation studio out there right now. A lot of their anime and even their team members who used to work at Gainax, and they created the show Tengentoppa Gurren Lagann. You know, all of that anime really inspires me in my storytelling. So when this anime came out, oh my goodness, I had see it right away.
Is that the one where like the guy says he has like this catchphrase at the very beginning? That doesn't help you. There's a lot of
There's actually a lot of catchphrases like believe in the me who believes in you, pierce the heavens with your drill, something like that, you know. Who the hell do you think I am?
That's it. Okay.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay. I was like, oh my god, I cried in that anime.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say anything for people who haven't watched it, but I turned it off after a certain thing happened because I was just like, no.
Yeah, don't spoil it. There's a lot of people that haven't watched that anime, and I feel like it's a modern classic. And so aside from Cyberpunk Edgerunners, I haven't had the chance to really delve back into playing games in a while because I've been making games basically. Right. But I am excited for some upcoming games in November, and they're dropping so many really good games in November, which is really soon, like Sonic Frontiers. There's God of War Ragnarok. I'm really excited for that.
Excited for that one.
And then I'm a Pokemon super fan. So Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, I'm going to play it day one. That's something I'm really excited about too. And aside from that, I just got back from traveling. So there was recently PAX West, you know, the video games convention. And it was the first time that I've seen Lunar Lux physically at a booth at the Freedom Games booth. And it was such a surreal experience for me, quite honestly. It was a dream come true. I still can't believe it. You know, I have withdrawals. Like, I want to go back to a video game convention and just be surrounded by all the fans, all the gamers, and you know, the community is awesome, and it was a really good time, and I'm looking forward to, you know, the future upcoming conventions, because it's an excuse to travel, you know, honestly, to see new places. And only recently have I had the opportunity to travel to more like different places outside of California. I'm actually from Los Angeles, California, so you know, it's great, you know, traveling. Now is the time, and I'm really grateful. Aww, yeah,
that's awesome. And if you are in London, Lunar Lux will be making an appearance at EGX, which is happening this week from the 22nd to the 25th. So if you are over across the pond and you stop by, please make sure you stop by the Freedom booth and give Lunar Lux a try, as well as the other titles, but definitely give Lunar Lux a try. And go follow the Kickstarter, which is going to be launching in October. So please go follow and support them. Like I said, the demo is live right now. So if you'd like to go check out the game, we'll put the link down at the bottom, make it really easy for you, take you straight to the page, download the demo, let us know your thoughts on it. But let's jump right into our interview. The first question that I want to ask is, how did you get into creating games? Like, I know a lot of people play games, but they've never actually taken the step to create them. And this is not your first game.
No, this this is my first commercial title. But ever since I was little, anime has inspired me a lot. And so I started doodling and drawing art and in my notebooks during school, when I should have been focusing in class.
Same. But, I used to get in trouble all the time.
See, I would create all these characters and worlds, and I always wanted to create my own anime. But I never really like knew how to code or program. So as the years went by, I discovered something called ROM hacking. Have you guys heard of ROM hacking before? Mm-hmm. Sure. It's basically, I was part of the Pokemon ROM hacking community. So games like Pokemon Fire Red, Pokemon Ruby, Emerald, we basically had some tools that we can use to modify those Pokemon games to kind of create your own little, adventure. You can customize the Pokemon, the areas, the maps. Basically, you can create your own Pokemon fan game with those tools. So I loved Mega Man Battle Network. I loved Pokemon. So my first ever sort of game development experience was creating a ROM hack of Mega Man Battle Network characters within the Pokemon battle system.
Oh, that's cool.
So it was called like Mega Man Battle Network 7 Lost Dimension or something like that. I was in middle school, so it was a really long name. But yeah, anyways, fast forward to college, and I was studying electrical engineering. That was my, that's what I graduated with. A bachelor's in electrical engineering. Mm-hmm. And, it's great. Like, I love the fact that engineering is everywhere. You know, where we see engineering everywhere, bridges, buildings, and we got to make sure that, you know, safety is considered and all of that. And it was a passion for me for a long time. But deep down, I knew that, you know, storytelling, anime, you know, and video games was something that I wanted to explore. So I played this one game called Undertale in my college years. And the story behind the creator, Toby Fox, was so inspirational for me. He's just one man in college, started up a Kickstarter, you know, got his idea out there, his game out there. He had a little bit of help, but it was mainly like a one-man show. That's the way I saw it. And he was able to, you know, make a sleeper hit, like a game that resonated with a lot of people, including me. And I saw that and I was like, you know what, I kind of want to take a leap. I want to, you know, invest some time into learning how to program. And I have all these ideas and characters in my head and in my notebooks. Maybe I should try, taking a whack at it, game development. And so as I was working an engineering job, I was actually making Lunar Lux, at home. I was basically working two full-time jobs. One was my day job and one was Lunar Lux at night, trying to create and conceptualize this world. Video games have always been a passion for me. And I want to create something that not only resonates with people, but like, has some cool ideas, and it just makes me feel the feelings that I had when I played the games, my favorite games, in my childhood. So, that was pretty much my journey. I started as like a ROM hacker, and then I didn't know much programming. I learned RPG Maker. That was like an engine that I used. This was like 2 or 3 years ago, and our first demo was in RPG Maker. So we did some things on there that nobody expected, because there's a certain idea that you have when you think RPG Maker games, and there are some really successful ones out there. And we did some things, especially with our battle system, that surprised people, and it motivated me to want to learn more. So we transitioned over to Game Maker Studio, and I literally learned that in like 1 month.
Wow.
This was a goal of mine. I was like, okay, it's a daunting task to learn something like programming and
Yes.
a huge software like Game Maker or Unreal Engine or any of the other engines out there. And I was just like, okay, I'm gonna give myself 1 month. Every single day, I'm gonna learn one new thing and try to utilize it in some way. And pretty much within a month, I was able to build up like a skill set that I can use to start building a base. So I rewrote the entire demo from scratch, made it into Game Maker, and that's the demo you have today. So
That's incredible. I
Yeah,
am
that's cool.
so inspired by that. I'm
Thank
telling you
you.
right now, there's no way I could do that. I would be like, yeah, I'm giving myself a month, and 6 months down the road, I wouldn't. Yeah. But
Yeah.
that's so cool. Like, wow. And I didn't even know that you rewrote all of it just, to use this new game system. So like, God, when you think about like just going in and kind of editing a game to fit like an art style or like an idea you have from fully creating something, then having to go back and redo it in like a different system, that is so much. And you were working full time.
And I forgot to mention one thing. And I think this might be motivational for aspiring game developers out there. So basically I was like 20 years old and I was thinking, where do I want to be in 5 years? Where do I want to be in 10 years? I developed this mindset of like thinking long term. And I think it's very good to kind of have the idea like, okay, where do I want to be in 5 or 10 years? And at the time I was thinking, I'm not sure if I w saw myself continuing, let's say, engineering or whatever I was doing, in the long term. And so I was thinking, I really want to become a game developer, and if I can try to get there within 5 years, and I know it's a long time, 5 years is a huge commitment. But I'll do whatever it takes. And I'm 26 now, so that was like 6 years ago, and I'm here now. So
Oh my God,
it happened.
you did it.
I took a huge leap, and my friends and family, they were super supportive. Even the company that I was working at, I've worked with them for like 6 years, the engineering company, and they were super supportive too, because they knew. They saw me working on Lunar Lux during my breaks, and they were like, "Oh, what you doing there? You're working on a game? That's pretty cool." And then they knew, they saw it in me, They were like, "Okay, no, Bob, this is your chance. Just go there, do whatever it takes, learn whatever it takes, and just persevere. Do not give up. Even if the task might seem daunting, if you know in your heart what you really, really want, you're gonna put in the time and effort to learn it. So that's what I did. And I'm really glad that it's going well so far, and I'm really happy that I was able to meet so many people along the way, and so I can help bring everybody up, including you guys. I wouldn't have been able to meet you guys without this without working so hard to get here. So I'm
No,
really happy
that's
about that.
true. No, like I remember this is super random, but I remember when they were talking, I think it was in an all hands meeting, and they actually brought up the title of your game, and I hadn't heard of it before, but they showed us the pitch deck, and I remember going through it and being like, oh my God, this looks so professional. Like, this looks so good. Like, you could tell that it was like a work of love. Like all the characters, the design, the color scheme, just looking at some of the GIFs and the video play of it. And I was like super excited that they actually signed you and that you wanted to sign with Freedom because I think it's an incredible game. I'm going to throw it to Lou. Lou, do you have any questions you'd like to ask?
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me, obviously there's a big anime inspiration going on. And it's something that you've mentioned even a few times here so far, with our interview here tonight. I'm just wondering, What is it about anime that inspires you? And what are some of your favorite animes?
I think it's the, I don't know what it is about anime, but it's the storytelling. It's a bit different from, let's say, Western animation. I think it's Japanese anime is like something that, I don't know, it could be the art style maybe, or a combination of factors, I would say. And a lot of the shows that I watched really were, they had like a lot of themes and messages that were super inspiring for me. Like, never give up, you know, do your best, try your hardest. And paired with the animation style where it was kind of over the top in a lot of anime. And I think I really liked that. And, you know, I was really into the shonen trope, shonen style anime. On the TV when I was growing up, I would go to the channel that had like Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon and Digimon. And it didn't really click with me like the other type of cartoons that were on TV. So that's what stuck with me. And some of my favorite anime actually, Tengen Toppa Gurren Lagann, as I mentioned, or anything made by Studio Trigger. I really like Steins Gate. I think Attack on Titan is a masterpiece. Attack on Titan's amazing. Death Note is one of my favorite anime. I have honestly a long list, but and I noticed that I used to watch a lot more anime when I was back in college and stuff, and same. Lately I haven't had too much time. So, you know, when really, really good shows come out, like Cyberpunk Edgerunners, you know, I'm fully invested and I just take the opportunity. But yeah, those are my favorite shows. And something about that, something about watching anime really resonated with me, and it made me want to create my own. So that's kind of what I'm doing. Like, I can't do animation and I'm just one person, right? And it's super expensive. Like, one episode of animation or one anime episode costs somewhere, like, it depends on the specific anime, but then I don't know, like a $200,000, just throwing a number out there, like for just one episode. So I can't make an anime, but I can make games. So why not make an anime and a story through the medium of a video game? That's absolutely pretty much what I'm doing. Yeah,
for sure. Very cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's very true what you said about anime and storytelling. I always thought one of the things I love about anime is that there's subject matter that is being dealt with in anime that you would never see in a Western show.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
There are themes, there are characters, there's such subject matter that is just so unique. And, it's much more imaginative than what you would see in Western fiction. That's fantastic. I really love the art style of Lunar Lux. Spectacular. And then I also want to ask, if you were to say you were to go back to day one of development of Lunar Lux, is there anything that you would do differently?
What I would do, actually, no, I wouldn't change anything. The reason is because where I started kind of helped me create certain connections and meet certain people that, you know, they mean a lot to me. And I think without them, I would not be able to progress forward and push myself to learn, you know, the next thing and the next thing. So to be honest, I wouldn't, I'm actually glad that I started off with RPG Maker, you know, cause it was like baby steps. If I immediately started on, something as daunting as like Game Maker with all of the, programming that it requires, I might not have been, or it might've taken a longer time maybe, or because when you start with something small, it's easier to conceptualize. Yeah. And a lot of programming is like, you know, it's very logic based. If this condition is met, then do this. So it helped kind of fine tune my way of thinking. And it helped set up the foundation for me to expand my skill set later on. So I honestly wouldn't change anything. It would be nice to start from like game maker from the beginning. But I learned a lot throughout the way to get there. So I'd never take that for granted. I think it means a lot to go through that journey and the struggle, to learn all of those things.
Absolutely. Having the initial steps is always really important. I think a lot of people forget that. Do you know what I mean? Like what it takes to like going through all of that hard and like just annoying process to get to where you need to be. So like when I went to school for animation because I wanted to be an animator. And doing that, like when I went to school, it was a lot less computer animation. It was a lot more hand-drawn and like flipping the pages and making sure. And that is tedious work. But like once you see the end product, do you know what I mean? From the sketch to seeing like your idea and your vision coming to life. And on top of that, seeing other people smile and laugh and really enjoy it. That's such an incredible, it's all worth it. In the end, it's all worth it. And that's what I feel like you're saying, no, Bob. Like no matter what you went through and like how you started, you wouldn't go back and change anything because the place that you're at right now, it's all worth it. All of it helped to get you to this point. And I think that's incredible that I feel like you're a very humble person. And I really love that about you because you're out here creating amazing things and it's gonna make other people like, I don't know. Like, I feel like you really want to help other people reach their dreams. And I feel like you're going to get to that point where you're able to do that. And working with you and others who are like that is such a pleasure. Because I've worked
Thank you.
in the gaming industry, I've worked in animation, I've done a lot of weird different jobs, and I'm here now. But it's like a fresh of breath air. So I'm so happy that you're at Freedom. We have to talk more. I know I only talk to you about business. I've been super busy because of the events, but I am very, very excited for this game. And
Thank
one
you.
of the
Thank you.
questions, you're absolutely welcome. One of the questions I had was, what made you decide to pick a female protagonist?
That's a great question. Let's see. So initially, okay, let me start off by saying there's a character in the story. We call him the Merc Slayer. He's like this really cool guy with he hides his face behind this mask, this digital mask. And initially, it was supposed to start off with I had the choice of starting off the story between the Merc Slayer or Bella and Tetra. When I say Tetra is also technically, a lead female protagonist as well.
I know, she's so cute.
She identif She's a robot. She's an AI robot. But she identifies as female. Her pronouns she, her. So, I had the choice between going with starting the story with the Merc Slayer because he's also a main character, or Bella and Tetra. But when I was making the decision, the Merc Slayer is kind of like a really edgy. He has a dark story, dark backstory. Something about that just didn't like the story has some serious moments, but what I really wanted to focus on was the feeling of hope. And Bella is a really badass, strong, smart, talented, character. And the personality that I crafted for her was just like it wasn't crafted for any particular reason. It was just this is the kind of character that I would want to, have as a hero, that for my story, that whatever qualities I like about a protagonist, that's what I wanted Bella to embody. She has that qualities of like, of never giving up, do your best, and if you think that there's only one way to do something, try your best to maybe find another way, because if you don't agree with that one way, like don't take no for an answer. Try to, explore, find different solutions. That ties in with like the never giving up mentality. And I actually really have come to love her design as well, 'cause I'm an artist, not just a programmer. So drawing Bella has been a blast, and all the other cast of characters. And I really wanted to basically focus on, the hero that Bella is and her journey. So the decision was basically, do I want to tell the story through the perspective of the Merc Slayer or through the perspective of Bella and Tetra? And I thought Bella and Tetra would be a much more fun and interesting perspective to explore. And
I love that.
yeah, pretty much.
Because she looks so fun. Like, the character itself looks really fun. And Tetra is so cute. I want merch of Tetra. Like, as soon as we get merch, it's going back here somewhere. I cannot wait because she's super adorable. But, okay, cool. So, we know why we have the female protagonist. Can you tell us a little bit about like your inspiration behind the gameplay and the mechanics? Like, I know you're a really big fan of Mega Man, and like I love Mega Man, and I can see it all over that game. You can't look up there, but I actually have like statues of Astro Boy because it was Astro Boy, then Mega Man for me, and now Lunar Lux. So, can you tell us a little bit about how you decided like that's how you wanted the gameplay to be? That's the style you wanted it in.
So my two favorite games growing up as a kid was Pokemon and Mega Man. Hence me trying to combine them together into a fan game when I was in middle school. Pokemon is like a turn-based game. A lot of like kids, basically a younger demographic, they can easily pick it up. It's very simple. There's only like four attacks and you select one of your four attacks and then then your opponent goes and then you go and your opponent goes. And I really love Pokemon, but I also really love Mega Man Battle Network and the real-time action gameplay that it provided. So I was thinking, oh sorry, there's one more game actually. The Mario and Luigi RPG series.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, good.
So those were also turn-based games. But they made it so fresh and interesting by having these like quick time events with Mario and Luigi where you can do all these cool things like Luigi jumps on top of Mario, press the A button, and then he does this combo attack. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I want to play more games like this. And so I was thinking of channeling all of that and combining it into one battle system. So Lunar Lux is a turn-based RPG with a twist. You basically have instead of like the four attacks from Pokemon, you can have up to 20 for Bella. And this hasn't been revealed yet, but there is space on the right side of the screen when you're playing the game for a potential second playable character to play with. So that's likely up to 40 attacks that you can use
That's
on
so
any
dope.
given turn.
Wow.
And yeah, so you execute your attack, but it's not just what you see in a typical turn-based RPG where you see maybe an animation or something. You can I want players to be more engaged with the battle system, so I decided to put some, quick time events or something interesting for each and every attack. So they're not all the same. And
Love that.
yeah, so and that's channeling kind of like the Mario and Luigi RPG vibes as well. So yeah, and then when the mercs attack, the mercs are the enemies in our game. They also have like their own way of attacking. It's not just them, dishing out an attack. You can actually dodge them in real time. You can go, you can put up a shield, if you want. So there's like a lot of strategy-based elements into it. We have like a kind of like a deck building, but not as in depth as Mega Man Battle Network, but you can choose up to 30 support skills, and this is one of our favorite aspects in the battle system. Every turn, when you select your attack, you get an option of three randomly generated bonuses, or what we call support skills. And the way you decide to kind of equip your support skills can determine how, like, the rate in which you get the really good ones, or it just makes it keeps players on their toes, and it's just like a it keeps every makes every single turn fresh and unique, and that's one of our favorite aspects. And something we really like, and I'm really into pixel art. That's why this game is inspired
Yeah,
by.
I love pixel art.
Yeah, pixel art is amazing. It's Honestly, with the modern games, AAA games that are coming out, I kind of wish that there were more pixel-based games. And I'm really happy that a lot of indie games and indie developers are, continuing making really beautiful looking pixel aesthetic games. And so every attack, I keep getting sidetracked, sorry.
It's okay.
No, please keep talking.
So every attack has basically like a little like artwork attached to it, so it's like more memorable. Instead of using like, let's say, Thunderbolt from to quote a Pokemon attack, Thunderbolt has like this nice little image, a pixel art, like beautifully crafted pixel image with it, which is kind of like the battle chips in Mega Man Battle Network. And yeah, there's just so many aspects in the battle system. This is basically a game. Lunar Lux is basically a game that if I went back in time, right, and I wasn't the developer of Lunar Lux and I saw this game, this is a game that I would absolutely fall in love with. So that's basically how we crafted this battle system. And we're still improving it, every single day. Just recently we did this attack pattern for a Merc where it's kind of inspired by the Undertale battle system.
Okay.
Like this white box appears, and you're basically like you have to basically like float around, and like there's bullets and stuff like that, just like the Undertale battle system. So that was really fun to program. And yeah, and it keeps evolving and expanding, and we're seeing that a lot of players are resonating nicely with our battle system. And one thing that I do want to mention is, there's a lot of players that don't like turn-based games for many particular reasons. And I'm hoping that Lunar Lux could be a great, a great game for someone who maybe doesn't like turn-based games to kind of start getting into. Because there was a situation where 2 years ago, for our RPG Maker demo, which was super outdated. Like right now it's super outdated. The mechanics are not that polished compared to now. And so there was a player that joined our Discord and was like, "Hey, I don't like turn-based RPGs. I was never really into them, but I played Lunar Lux and you changed my mind about turn-based RPGs. They can actually be like really engaging and really fun." And that hit me. Like I was like, "Oh my gosh, yes, this one person really like just made my day." Like it made me want to keep going and have fun with it as well. And yeah, I'm glad players are really enjoying it, the battle system.
No, it's so cool. And I love the variety. I know I'm going to have like certain moves, I call them moves, in the game that I'm going to absolutely fall in love with and want to see like the animation too all the time. I don't know if you guys are like that, but like I remember when I played Final Fantasy VII for like the first time when it was on the PS, and you have like the Guardian Force Shiva, and I just loved using her every single time just because of the animation. So I'm excited because I know Lunar Lux has a lot of different animations and I can't wait to go through all of them because I know they're going to be incredible. People are doing so many amazing things with pixel art that you just don't expect. Like that, I can't remember the game that I played. It was like kind of a dark game, but like some of the animation in it was just so smooth and beautiful, and I feel like Lunar Lux is on that level. Like you're gonna go into this game and it's gonna be pixel art, but it's gonna blow your mind. Like you're not gonna be like, oh, it's just, regular like old school games. No, like what you guys are doing with the pixels, how you're animating everything is so smooth. It's incredible. So I just wanted to throw that out there. If you're a type of person who like doesn't really like pixel art games, because there are some people out there, I implore you to try this out. It's gonna be incredible. Like I am such a fan of pixel art, so I love that Lunar Lux is in pixel art and I love what you're doing with it. But I've talked a lot again. So, Lou, did you have any other questions you wanted to ask?
Yeah, just wondering here as we finish off, what's next for Lunar Lux in terms of development? What's on your mind right now? What's on deck in terms of the development of Lunar Lux?
So at the moment, the chapter that we're working on, there's the entire I was gonna say world, but it's actually the moon. The moon opens up, and there are so many areas that we've been creating, and we've been having so much fun with it, and we wish we could just show it off to everyone so then they can see, like, you know, like, oh wow, this is not your typical like setting for an RPG game, you know. We're super excited, you know, for players to experience the full game. And what's upcoming for us is that, you know, in October, we're gonna have our Kickstarter. And, you know, we have lots of ideas and, you know, that we want to execute. And we would also love to bring Lunar Lux to consoles. That's a personal dream of mine. I grew up with the Game Boy Advance, the Nintendo DS, 3DS, the handheld consoles, and just being able to play Lunar Lux on like something like the Nintendo Switch would be a dream come true. And I really want players to be able to experience that. And I think Lunar Lux is a great game, honestly, to for
To
the
have on a
Switch.
portable, yeah,
Yeah,
absolutely.
because it
Absolutely.
was designed with that feeling in mind, you know, like the Game Boy Nintendo DS era, especially with like the resolution and all the design choices we made in the game. So, you know, we're really hoping and really excited for what's to come. And you know, I wanted to thank everyone for supporting Lunar Lux, and you know, we're hoping that we can you know, do well on our Kickstarter so we can provide for players like an amazing experience. You know, a great RPG adventure on the moon.
That was so well said. Well put. All
Thank you.
right. So we're going to go with our last question. And this is usually a question we ask all of our guests because one of the passions that we have here is we talk about mental health in gaming, mental health outside of gaming, social justice. And we've actually answered this question before. Mine was Streets of Rage 2 in particular, the game that got me through tough times when I was in high school and I was frustrated. So now we're going to throw this question to you. What's a game that you feel has gotten you through a tough time? And I know that you mentioned Pokemon and Mega Man, but is there any other game that, like, at some point in your life, maybe you were going through a rough patch, or just a game that makes you smile in genuine, like, in what word am I trying to say?
In
Genuinely?
general.
In general, thank you. A game that makes you smile in general. What would that game be, and why did it have that effect on you?
Think I might have accidentally answered this question a
It's
little
okay.
earlier, but I think it's important that I bring it up again to close. And I would say, so back in college when I was trying to figure out what I really wanted to do in life, you know, I had the feelings of not really having a direction and I was lost. And you know, when you feel this way, especially at in your late teens, and you don't know which direction to go, you know, you have nothing to push you, it can, you know, it can be mentally taxing. Like you just, let's say someone might have other external pressures on them, let's say family or their environment or society. And you know, Undertale was the game that really like pushed me to want to pursue something for myself and really explore a passion. And you know, I wanted to wake up every day doing something that I really enjoy. And I think it's important to strive for something like that, because I think everyone should want to wake up every day looking forward to, you know, what they're going to be doing. And when you focus on something positive, when you focus on your passions, and if you have the opportunity to do so, you know, it's going to open up doors for you, and you'll be able to do so much more things. Like I was able to travel, you know, a lot more thanks to becoming a game developer. And you know, it's not something that it's not like I became a game developer in order to travel, in order to do X, Y, and Z. It's more like I just wanted to create my own game that means a lot to me, put it out into the world. And Undertale really helped inspire those that journey for me. So I think it's important to, you know, when you're lost and you don't know which direction to go. Just, you know, when you discover your passion, go 110%, 200%, 1000%. Try to, you know, explore what you really enjoy and hone in on that, hone your skills, and you know, good, there's nothing but good that will come out of that, and it will help enrich your life, and you know, and you'll become stronger, you know, at the end. So it's all worth it at the end.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that story with us. And I totally agree. There's nothing to it but to do it. So if you're having doubts, if, because we can be our own worst enemies, right? Like imposter syndrome, dealing with all of those things. You fail 100% of the times that you don't try, as corny as that sounds. So you just have to do it. And I mean, it might not go exactly the way you thought it was going to go, but it's still going, right? You're still moving forward. So thank you for sharing that. That's such a positive message to end on, because I know a lot of people who listen to us are gamers and may want to make their own game or start making music for a game or start their own podcast, you know? So thank you for that. And I think that's going to be it for our show. Before we go, Nobob, can you drop your socials and tell people where they can find out more about you and more about Lunar Lux if they are super, super interested?
Okay, so online I'm known as Cosmic Nobob, so you can find me on Twitter at Cosmic Nobob, and you can follow, please follow Lunar Lux Game at Lunar Lux Game on Twitter. That's where we post all of our updates, and you can also find the links to our Steam page and Kickstarter on there as well. You know, thank you very much for all your support, and yeah.
Awesome. I'll have all of those things down below so you guys can just go click on them. Please go support Lunar Lux. They will be launching their Kickstarter on the 4th. And if you don't support them, I'm going to come find you. That's it. Go support them. The game is great for all of those old heads like me who loved Mega Man, who loved 64-bit games and retro and vintage. Please go check out this game. It's absolutely incredible. Like I said, the demo is live, so you have no excuse. No, Bob, thank you again for coming. Lou, as always, it's a pleasure. And guys, we will catch you on the next episode. Bye.
Hi.